Wasn't that great? Praise God for that. And I mean it with all my heart when I say it is a miracle. Because as we know already, we are sinners. And our nature does not tell us to go to God. The Holy Spirit is the only power that works, the only person that works with us and touches our heart and asks us and pleads with us to go to God. Well, we continue our series today. As you know, for those of you who had a chance to be here for the last five, I believe, weeks, we've been talking about the most exciting thing there is to talk about, which is the everlasting gospel. And by now, I hope it's not even a question in our mind. What is the gospel? Can we say it together? What is the gospel? Or who is the gospel, right? Jesus Christ is the gospel. It's about a person. It's not about a theory. It's about a person and relationship with that person. And we continue today, and we're going to pick up right there where we left off last week. And I think you remember what we talked about. You don't have to answer. I know you remember. We talked about the temptation of Jesus. In fact, what we are going to be talking about today, I believe, is the answer to the most current questions that people ask in this world. We all heard the word Ebola, right? I mean, it's scary. We think about it, we pray about those people who have been affected already. Well, I want to invite you to this very important lesson. I believe you can see the answer in this part of the gospel. So that's why I'm preaching about it. It's so relevant. It's for us today in the environment and the situation of the world that we are living in. Well, we talked about Jesus' baptism last week. And if you remember, I just need to find my notes, I guess. So I will remember too. If you remember, we talked about his temptation from the Gospel of Luke. And I'd like to invite you to look at this one verse that is the end of the story of the temptation of Jesus. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And the very important, maybe the most important thing that we know from this verse is that he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you would read, which I encourage you, by the way, to just sit down and read through the gospel. I'm doing that and I'm just thrilled. When we sit down and just read through, not just one or two chapters, but read all the gospel at one time. It's amazing. The picture that we see, the person of Christ that we see in this gospel, in the gospels, pick four out of four, read all of them, but read through. And as we trace through the Gospel of Luke at this time specifically, how that power of the Holy Spirit was manifested in Jesus' life. And we can see several stories. Several times when after the temptation Jesus went on, it was manifested and people came to him. People were amazed. People were eager to come and just touch him because there was power that he had. And I want to invite you to one specific story. It's found in Luke chapter 4, same chapter, verse 33. Well, I guess we can read from verse 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now, in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. I mean, this is great. It sounds amazing. Would you like to be in that crowd just looking and seeing all these manifestations of the power of God? I mean, that's amazing. We probably would bring our friends. We would think right away, okay, who can benefit from Jesus? Let's bring that person to him, right? Well, let's read on. Of course, we cannot trace all the stories. But let's open chapter 9, the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, I guess. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Now, when you think about that, before I read that, kind of, yeah, sure, of course, you know, Jesus gave powers to people. He gave power to his disciples. He gave authority. Yeah, sure. But let's stop and think about it for a moment. Right before that, in chapter 8, we read about the story of a woman who suffered for 12 years. And she could not be healed. She spent all she had. Nobody could help her. And she heard about Jesus among many people who heard about him. And so she made her way. She was trying to hide, but she believed he had the power. And so she touched him, and you remember what happened. When she touched him, he said, "Wait a minute, something just happened." And he said, "I felt the power going from me." Now, I cannot explain, and I wish I would be able to explain what exactly he meant by that. But the point that I'm trying to make, it was real. The power that he had was real power and authority. Now, when he called his 12 disciples and he gave them power and authority, it was real. It was not just, "Oh, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, you're kind." No, it was real. He gave them power and authority. And we can read in verse 6, chapter 9, "So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Now, how would you like that to take place today in the world? I mean, that's something that we all need. And he gave them the power, and it worked. And they went, and they healed the people. They cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Now, let's look a little further. Because we might feel like, oh yeah, they were a special kind of group. Of course, they were the apostles. You know, we are not the apostles. We are just human beings here in Oregon, Sutherland. I mean, who we are compared to them? This is something very interesting. I'm jumping a little bit further, and we are in chapter 9, the middle of the chapter, verses 37 and on. And so what happened before this, we know that Jesus invited the three of his apostles. And they went up on the mountain, and Jesus was transfigured there. I mean, we're not going to touch this story in detail, but that was amazing. And at that time, they heard the voice from heaven repeating the same statement, "You are my beloved son," or "This is my beloved son." Okay? So this has just happened. And Jesus, with his disciples, with those three, coming down from that place to the valley, and what he met there, what he saw there. It was not a pleasing, pleasant experience there. Pleasant. Because what he saw there, and what the disciples, the three of them, saw, that the other nine were kind of looking down. They were a little unsure what to do. And they saw the Father with his Son right in front of those disciples. And the Son probably was on the ground. He was having seizures. He was looking terrible. It was clear. This boy is demon-possessed. Is demon-possessed. And now, think about it. These nine were the ones among those 12 that Jesus said, "I give you the power." Right? And so they are standing right here, the called, the chosen ones, the special kind of group. And they are helpless. I think we can, I don't know about you, I can identify with them at this point. It's not the best feeling to have, to feel helpless. Don't we all know that Jesus has power? Don't we all know that the Holy Spirit has given to us, and we find ourselves at times just standing there and completely helpless? So, Jesus comes, and verse 41 is a very strong statement that Jesus makes toward his disciples. Luke 9, verse 41. "Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here.'" Now, who is he talking to? To be honest, before I didn't realize that actually he was talking to his disciples. He was not just talking to, this generation people. No, he was talking to his disciples. If you see there in the verses, verse 40, "So I employed you, your disciples, the Father said, to cast it out, but they couldn't." And right after that, Jesus continues, "Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you?'" He is talking to the chosen, to the called, to the special ones, and he says, "You are faithless. You're a perverse generation." Now, it's interesting that word, and by the way, if you have Andrew's Study Bibles, you might find that note down. I am reading from that note right there. It says, literally, the word perverse, used of a distorted vessel on a potter's wheel. And apparently it refers to the disciples' failure to heal the boy. Now, think about that imagery. The potter is working on his vessel on the wheel. Jesus is working with his disciples. He chose that clay. And it's not working well. It's not going well. It breaks. It. I don't know. I'm not especially. But any of you know more, I'm sure, about working on the wheel, potter's wheel. But there are times when it's not going well. So Jesus chose those 12, and something is not working. Something is not going well with them. And he says it right there in their face about it. Now, look at this. Story goes on. Of course, Jesus healed the boy. Of course, he did. And the father was so happy about that. Now, let's read on. Because right in several verses down in the same chapter, verse 49, by the way, we find this very interesting episode. Now John answered and said, I'm reading Luke 9:49, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us. Isn't that interesting? They were right there, I don't know how long ago, in front of this father who was begging them, please, help my boy. They couldn't do it. Now they hear about someone who actually does it. We have no idea who that person was. We have no name of that person. We have no idea how that person found out about the power that Jesus gave. But there was something about that person compared to this crowd, this special crowd. He believed. That's all. He believed. Because if that power wouldn't have been from God, Jesus would have rebuked him and said, oh yeah, sure, stop him. He is the enemy. But look what Jesus answered. Verse 50, but Jesus said to him, to John, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. So basically Jesus is saying, don't stop him because he is doing that in the same with the same power that I gave you. That's basically what he's saying. Because there are just two powers in this world. God's power and Satan's power. There's no third power. Now think about it. Jesus called, and I repeat this because I think we can identify at times with that word. The called, the chosen, the special crowd, the 12. And they did not believe. They did not take it seriously. It worked for some time. They believed, but then something happened. And they couldn't do it. They didn't have faith. Jesus said, you did not believe. You are faithless. And here's someone who just took it seriously. And he went, and he healed, and he cast out demons. Now, we are right here, sitting in this beautiful sanctuary. And the only point that I am trying to make, maybe some of us right here, maybe all of us, hopefully all of us, will take the words of Jesus seriously. He is not just saying things. He's not joking. He is serious. He offers. He gives the power. It's available. And if next morning or next week, or next, I mean, who knows, Monday, Tuesday, any day, you will hear of someone who is doing something in God's name. Don't be quick to judge. Yes, the Bible says there are different kinds of spirits. Yes, we know that Satan deceives by doing, repeating the same, kind of the same things and doing miracles. Yes, we are aware of that, but don't be quick to judge. Because it might be just the situation where someone took the words of Jesus seriously and you didn't. And this is so, so serious. There is an answer to the problems of this world, which is given by Jesus. He gave the power. And because we don't take it seriously, we stand right there in front of a boy and we don't know what to say. So what is the answer today? If we know who Jesus is, if we read the scripture, take it seriously, if the gospel story is not just a story that is on our shelf, and yeah, we know it, read it. The more you read it, the more you find amazing things about Jesus. Take it seriously, because he means what he says. He gives the power. And I'm not speaking as the one who's got it all together. I'm right there with you. I'm asking the same questions, but it doesn't change the truth. Jesus gives the power. And if just one person in this auditorium today will take that seriously, praise God for that. But it might be you And if the Holy Spirit talks to your heart, look at Jesus again. Study Him. Talk to Him. Pray to Him. Because there is power that He gives. And at the end, I'd like to read this. One of my favorite, actually, verses or scriptures. It's found in Philippians 1:6. Paul writes to the church, and he says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul asks us to be confident that there is someone who is at work. He has begun something in your life, something in my life, and He will finish that. And we know that later on, the same disciples who couldn't do anything at the moment when the Father asked them, when the Holy Spirit had done something with them, they were right there with people. The people were eager to touch them because they knew there was power that was given to them. So there is hope. God can do the same with us if we would let Him, if we would be open, if we would take it seriously and ask Him about that. And I'd like to take this time to invite you, if you would like to share in prayer your request, your desire to know Jesus, to take His word seriously, to receive the power that He offers. This is a good opportunity. And after that, I'll have my prayer too. So you don't have to stand up. Just sit where you are. And I invite you to pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the message that You give us, that You are reminding us of the power that is available to us. Lord, please help us to realize this truth, that this world needs us. He needs us to know Christ, because when we know Christ, when we trust Him, when He is everything to us, there is faith in the power that You give. Lord, we don't have anything to offer to the problems, to the people who are suffering in this world, except we get to know You and we'll take Your word seriously, then You can work through us. Lord, we just pray and open ourselves and ask You, please, continue working with us. Lord, help us to change our perspective on things, to change even our perspective on the Bible, on Your word, and don't read it as we already know it, but read it with open heart, in prayer, asking that You will reveal Yourself to us in such a way that our faith in You will increase. And we'll take You seriously. Thank You, Lord, for Your promises. Thank You that You chose the 12, even though they were not the special. They were just like us. And You were willing to work with them. Thank You, Lord, for Your willingness to work with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.